liberty.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed from the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that can do nothing more. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten in God's sight. But even the hairs of your head are all counted. Do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, who inclines God's ear towards us and hears our supplications. Amen.
Amen.
I suspect there was a morning very much like this, since the events we remember took place this time of the year. Probably a little bit on the human side, sunny. The sun rose up on the low country home of South Carolina, perhaps blood red. Sunset, red sun in the morning, Taylor State morning. I bet it was that kind of a morning. Steamy, warm. Bishop Perry went to his office at St. Philip's, as he so often wanted to do when he was at work. He greeted his secretary warmly, went into his study, where the ceiling fans, I'm sure, were going for a while. It was like any other morning. He had the mundane things to do that bishops always have to do, correspondence to respond to, sermons to write. Didn't have to worry about checking his email. I suspect it was like any other morning. Bishop Gary, a man ahead of his time, felt compelled to hear the clarion call of God's voice through Jesus and the Spirit. The clarion call to justice. A clarion call to equality. A realization, as it is said in the back of our page of our bulletin this morning, that there is difference between uniformity and unity. In the realization of a creative collective energy of God's Spirit moving through all of us. You see, Bishop Gary realized that in God's kingdom, there are no others. No one is given second billing. No one is left out. So I suspect there was a morning like any other morning. He had made the proposal that there be an African-American suffragan bishop. He made this proposal slightly after the turn of the 20th century. After the Civil War, but long before equality had taken its roots and began to spring forward. But I think also what Bishop Gary came to realize is that when black and white, young and old, rich and poor come together, it is transformative. We know that in this small portion of our world, We know that, for here the roots of Reconstruction took place that changed people's lives. We know this to be true, for we've seen it in our own lives. We've seen the mall in Washington, D.C. to be nothing but a sea of individuals, black and white, rich and poor, young and old. To hear an African-American man proclaim, "I have a dream today," and that dream is still being manifested. Bishop Gary lived in such a dream. It was a morning like any other morning. The windows were open, perhaps a breeze swayed through the office. And then the priest came in. He was very upset about Bishop Gary's stance regarding the role of African Americans in the life of the church. And then it happened. Happened so quickly, almost as if it was a part of the normal routine, except the sound wasn't right. The loud popping of the gun, and then in quick sequence, the falling of what sounded like maybe a sack of rice, and then the other shot, and the second shot. Good God, what she must have thought as she came into his office. Bishop Gary's courage did not end on that day. It continued because before he died, several days later in hospital, he had the courage and the fortitude and the grace and the love to echo St. Stephen's words, "Lord, forgive him, for he knows not what he did." That's courage. For it takes courage to forgive. It takes courage to let go. It takes courage to enfold our enemies. It takes courage. We live in a time where I believe it takes courage. We live in a time where full equality is yet to be achieved. And this is true throughout our land, not in certain geographic locations. It's true in the Northeast, where I've come to join you. It's true in the Northwest, where my life is from. It's true in California, that great bastion of liberal thought, where I went to school. It's true in the parched desert of Arizona. It's true in the cities and rural counties, the great state of Texas, and on in through Mississippi and Alabama and up the coast. It's true in the heartland, in Minneapolis, in Indianapolis, in Bangor. It's true. Reverend William Farber, an African-American, you may have heard of him, he's been on the news recently, for reading Moral Mondays, most recently at the State House in North Carolina, where, if I may paraphrase a joke, a rabbi, a priest, and a minister show up on the front of the courthouse lawn in their vestments. People at first find it amusing until they do it again and again and again to remind us all that it is not equal yet. that the arc of history is very long, and yet it does reach towards justice. In cooperation with a gentleman by the name of Jonathan Wilson Hathaway, a former avowed racist, they have written the third Reconstruction. And I encourage you to read it. This is about all of us. This is about us being asked to have courage, to speak truth to power, to state that that which is in darkness will be revealed, that there is nothing in secret that God will keep as such, that if it is not us, then who will it be? That we have so much more in common than we have that which many would have drive us apart. Bishop Gary knew that. He also realized, as did Stephen and all the great martyrs in the church and outside of the church, going into the courtyards of synagogues and riding buses into the heartland of the South, coming upon Boston Common and in Times Square, coming to hamlets and villages and towns and cities and states across our land. We are so much more in the eyes of God than we seem to be in our own eyes so often. Bishop Berry wanted to remove the blinders of hate, of fear, so that together we might all see the glory of the kingdom of God that has come near to us. Bishop Geary also realized that he could not do it by himself, nor can any of us. He knew the presence of God. Did that release him and make him free of fear? I suspect not. No one with half a wit of intelligence would not be afraid, but he went forth unless and so are we called on this day. That was like that day many years ago. On this day when the sun rose up over the marshlands of the low country, beholding God's creative beauty all around us in this place we are come to love. That sun shines on us all equally. For that's how God designed it. And for us to even imagine we can do it by ourselves causes us to lose sight of these very words. Surely it is God who saves us. Trusting Him, we shall not fear. For the Lord defends and shields us, and His saving help is near. That's the reality of the courage that is offered to us. Martin Luther King said it best when he said these words, written from the cell of a Birmingham jail. He said, I cannot be who I ought to be unless you can be who you ought to be. You cannot be who you ought to be so I can be who I ought to be. May it be so.